from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I know, right? It's a good day, or as Travis Tritt might say, it's a great day to be alive.
No, it's a weird day, dude. You were in here singing an entire Cher song.
You believe in love after love?
All right, now you sound like Kermit singing.
Like Patrick Mahomes?
Maybe. You gotta have a little bit of a whiskey. Kind of
back, Patrick Mahomes here.
Back room kind of. See, he sounds more jazz to me than he does.
More jazz?
Old guy jazz. You know? A little bit of Satchmo in there.
Run the cross at 15 yards.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Yeah, it's weird. It's weird up in here.
Yeah, because you've already disrespected Patrick Mahomes in the first minute and a half.
Do anything the Raiders didn't do already, you know? I mean, listen.
You will rue the day, Rob Brown.
Rue the day. If I am disrespecting Patrick Mahomes, does the disrespect stack? Does the disrespect stack, or is it just like, is there like one? There's one disrespect and that's it? Or is it like the Raiders disrespected Mahomes and that's an AFC divisional win, and then Rob Brown disrespected Mahomes and that's your championship, your conference championship win, and like now we need one more disrespect and that's your Super Bowl win? Or is it Mahomes has been disrespected, therefore they're winning a Super Bowl this year? Because if it's that one, I can just go say whatever I want about the Chiefs. Now, it doesn't matter. It's already written in the stars. So, like, is it stackable disrespect for the Chiefs, or is it...
It's stackable, like buffs.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that.
That's what I'm asking, because there's, like, there are some spells that don't stack, right? Like, there are some spells that, like, once that spell's out there, any spell to the future of that does additional damage doesn't stack on top of that. You just get the one big bonus at the beginning, can't add on. And then there are other ones that you get smaller bonuses, but you can stack those spell bonuses, so you keep using the spell. You know what I mean? Like, this is the dorkiest football thing I've ever done. But if you get it, you get it. All three of you that get it. So, like, Mahomes... The Raiders broke out a stuffed Kermit the Frog with Patrick Mahomes' hair on it and made fun of him for sounding like Kermit the Frog, which, come on, let's be honest, he does a little bit. Like, a little bit. Not, like, totally, but a little bit. If I disrespect further, does that, like, exponentially amplify the Kermit the Frog disrespect, or is it just that is disrespect and everybody who adds on to that is just part of what is the disrespect overwhelmingly? How does the disrespect stacking work?
There are different levels. So within the division, that's just a divisional thing. You being worldwide, that stacks up overall. So Raiders, they're just working on victories of the Chiefs against them, whereas you are working on overall victories. So all your disrespect affects overall, while Raiders only affects AFC West.
Okay. I wondered how the disrespect stacked. You know what I mean? I was curious about that.
You know how, like, in the one Batman movie where Jim Carrey as the Riddler put the thing on, the cap on, and he was catching everything?
Yeah. It's like that.
It's like that.
Okay. Yeah. I got you. I just want to make sure, because, like, if that's the case, I need to make sure that I trickle my disrespect across the season, because, you know, if you just lump in disrespect every time your initiative role comes up, then by the time you get to the end of it, it's like, oh gosh, you've made the BBEG all powerful. Good luck to the party. Instead, what I want to do is just like a little life drain at a time. That by the time it comes back around, it's stacked. You know?
You were consistently disrespectful all last year. So if you just do more of the same, we're good.
Okay. For sure. I mean, I get that. I was just curious. All right. We got a day lined up for you today, ladies and gentlemen, because Wednesday is halfway to Saturday, and Wednesday basically is Thursday. Right? Like, it's basically Thursday.
It can't be, because Thursday is when college football week one starts. And
that is
would be
correct.
Tomorrow. That's not tonight.
That is correct. But it basically is week one. That basically is now. It's basically here. So, basically, what Lonzo and I are going to do today is begin looking at and breaking down the week one schedule, because college football begins in earnest tomorrow night. We have week zero in the books, and let's not say week zero didn't matter, because we learned some stuff already. We got a major upset out there that we need to go back and discuss the ramifications of. We're going to get to that. We got some games tomorrow that are mucho importante. Some top 10 teams playing tomorrow. Number 24, NC State. Number 11, Missouri. Number 22, Kansas, all in action. And in a game that I will tell you right now, Robbie B is staying up way too late to watch. North Dakota State's at Colorado tomorrow. I'm going to tell you right now, go ahead. Get the bells and the whistles and the sirens and everything else out there, because the Colorado Buffaloes are on upset alert against North Dakota State.
I have this thing, and I don't know if you have it. It's called a DVR, and you can like DVR it. And since you're going to sleep,
that's not the same.
Since you're going to sleep, you're not going to be spoiled.
Not,
so if you
yes,
watch it when you get up in the morning,
the problem is
it will be brand new for you.
The problem is I will be spoiled, and here's why: because I have the push notifications on for every app on my phone. And I have the push notifications on for every app on my phone, because when I get up and get going in the morning, while I'm going through my routine, right? Like, I get up out of bed and I take the 79 minutes it takes me to stretch everything out to get going. And then I go and you use the restroom in whatever capacity you need to. And then you brush the old teefies. You knock out the chiclet care. And then it's time to get dressed. So I go get dressed. Then I got to take the dog outside to go to the bathroom. So I'm out there for a little while. Then I got to come back in. Like last night, did BetMGM tonight last night. So I had to pack up all of my show day equipment. Had to get the tablet of truth in the little baggie. Had to get the computer unplugged and moved into the backpack. Had to snag the magazines on the wall. Like, I had to do all that stuff. And while I'm doing all that, I'm looking through all the push notifications that I got since I went to bed last night, because, you know, sometimes news breaks overnight. Sometimes something big happens. Sometimes somebody puts out an article overnight to have it ready for folks in the morning. And it's like, all right, let me listen to this, or let me read this, or whatever, while I'm getting ready for work. So I keep the push notifications on, and I am very lazy, and I'm not going to turn off the push notifications to avoid a spoiler. and then have to go back the next day and turn them all back on. Because if there's an upset, like North Dakota State knocking off the Colorado Buffaloes tomorrow evening, every single site is sending out a push notification about it, right? Every damn one of them is sending out a push notification about it. So then I got to go back and turn them all back on. And here's the thing. I'd rather be exhausted and risk my own health, safety, and well-being than have to go into the settings menu of my phone. That sounds miserable. I don't want to do that. That sounds awful.
It's kind
of
sad, dude.
I'm just going to stay up late.
I mean, you're a younger guy. You should be up on all the technology. You should have like some sort of app that just automatically turns them all off. There is this thing, you know, if you go into settings and you can just like turn them all off with like one push, unless your phone doesn't do that.
My phone does everything your phone does and more and better.
Okay.
For the Reddit.
Well, then you should just tell it to turn off notifications. Does your phone do that?
I don't know. I'm going to say yes. But I've just never done it. I've never done it before.
Okay.
Never done it before.
Be adventurous. Try it.
I don't want to. What I want to do is
you want to risk your life and others by staying up really late, getting 2 hours of sleep.
Risk my life and others.
Yeah, when you drive in with only a couple hours of sleep.
Nah, that game will be over at 11. I'll be asleep by midnight. That's like 3.5 hours.
You made it sound
hours.
Like it comes on at 10.
It's an 8 o'clock game.
Oh,
it just means it's not going off till 11, which is fine. I'll watch the second half in bed. And it'll be one of those games that, like, if we get to the fourth quarter and it's a blowout, if Colorado's blowing the doors off North Dakota State, they won't. But if they're blowing the doors off of North Dakota State, then I'll put it on and I'll drop the volume down to barely audible. And I'll close my eyes and I'll listen to it until I drift off to sleep. But if it's a game and there's a chance North Dakota State's going to win this thing, then I'll sit up in the bed and I'll watch it. And as soon as it's over, I'll cut the TV off. Either way.
And if you're emotionally into it, then you won't be able to sleep for another hour or so because you just get too hyped.
That's true. That's very true. That's 100% true. But the thing is, here's the other part of it. And I know where Lonzo and I are kind of talking shop right now, and we're taking you all along for the ride. Sorry, it's what we do. The other part of it is I can put it on the next morning. I cannot watch it the next morning. This is a game. I feel like this is going to be a game that I need to watch. Not have it on in the background. Not listen to Tessitore or whoever call it play-by-play. I need to watch this game because if you watch the game, you will see a lot that you are not getting told about by the play-by-play guy, and I have too much crap to do in the morning to be able to actually dial in and watch the game. If we worked the noon show still, then it wouldn't matter. I'd stay up and watch it. But if we were working the noon slot still, and I wouldn't come in till 9 o'clock in the morning, then yeah, that's a different story. I'd watch it the next day. But From the moment I get out of bed, the 9 o'clock thing
I find funny, but you know,
I got in here at noon or at 9 for the noon job.
No, I think you said it right the first time.
No, when we were doing the noon job, I was told to be here at 9. When we moved to this slot, the boss was like, "I don't care, just have the show done."
Do you remember when we were in the noon slot?
Yeah, it was a very long time ago.
That was a couple years ago.
Very long time ago. Yeah. But the point is, I could watch the game the next day in that time slot. I can't watch the game in the mornings anymore.
All right, this isn't like this is Ravens Chiefs, which will be the following Thursday. I could see.
Which I will also stay up
for. I could see staying up for that. This is Colorado, dude.
Yeah, and it was just Georgia Tech, dude. Remember when they were going to blow the doors off FSU and I said, watch this game. This game's going to be good. And you went, no, I'm going to tune out when they're up 21.
You are the man of 1,000 voices. Every time it's like listening to myself talk when you do that. It's awesome.
I'm a thespian. What do you want? I spent like 9 months in drama club.
You know what you are not? You're no chief that acts.
He's going to be so mad. All right. So we'll talk some football today. We'll look through the Thursday slate, give you some thoughts on the opening round of games. We'll take a look at the Saturday slate as well, give you our preview. We will preview the preview. Obviously, Friday, all we're doing is talking Saturday college football. We do have some news that we have to get you. And we will start right out of the gate coming up here in the next segment of the show because some news stories broke last night about the Georgia Bulldogs. You want to beat a team when they're at full strength, right? Like, you want to beat a team when they're at full strength. But also, you just want to beat a team, right? A couple of interesting stories yesterday as a couple of major players for the Dogs are unavailable to them coming up on Saturday when Georgia and Clemson put the hair up and square up for game number one of their college football seasons. Georgia going to be missing two major pieces when they take on Clemson. And yes, I will go so far as to say host Clemson in game number one. That game is in Atlanta. I do think Clemson will be playing effectively in a away game against the nation's top team, according to the AP preseason top 25. But Georgia missing two major pieces from their offense in this game. I'll tell you who they are and how it impacts Clemson when we come back here in just a minute. I also would like to start getting into USC's matchup against ODU, the Old Dominion Monarchs, coming to Columbia, South Carolina on Saturday. This game, to me, I think it's fair to say, great one. This game better be a blowout, right? Like, this game has to, like, South Carolina has to come out best foot forward, put something on the table, and have everybody go, oh, they did it. Not escape. Not get out of there by the skin of the teeth, the hair on the chinny chin chin. They need to dominate this football game. I need to see a team that has got it together. And I know it's Lenora Sellers' first game. I know that it is the first time Lenora Sellers will roll up into Willie B with the tag QB1 attached to him on the depth chart. I got all that. I still need the team to come out firing. And Old Dominion's bad. This isn't, there's a lot of FCS squads that they roll up into the house. And you're like, all right, like we're better than them. Old Dominion's bad. They had a bad year last year. And they didn't really get better this offseason. So to me, this is a game, absolutely and entirely a game that I need to see efficiency and intensity out of the South Carolina Gamecocks. So what's that look like? We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. We'll get to some Major League Baseball. The Braves have won 5 out of their last 6 now at this point and find themselves now a full 3 games up on the New York Mets for the final wildcard spot. The problem is, all of a sudden, the Philadelphia Phillies are starting to win baseball games as well. The Phillies tried to open the door for the Atlanta Braves. The Braves screwed the pooch out of the All-Star break and came out sluggish, but the bats are starting to work for the ATL a little bit. Can they find their way back into the divisional competition? Does it matter if they do or if they don't? We'll talk some Braves ball later on in the radio broadcast. And of course, we'll get some NFL because yesterday was cut day. And biggest of all was one name in the wide receiver room that is no longer with the squad. When we come back, I'll tell you who that is, why, and what impact it'll have on this team. That's next. Rob Lonzo and you, the Rob Brown Show, the 3-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year, is on the Fan Upstate.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob, Lonzo, you. Be a part of the show. The renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone, 844-326-3663. That's 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. If you want to get at us in that direction, the text line is open for you as well at 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we will read those texts on the air.
I should have got some cut day music. This might work. I don't know.
I got some. All right, that's mean. I don't feel good about that.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't feel good about that. Just,
I mean, you want music that goes, okay, this door is closed. Maybe another one will open up. You know, that sort of thing. Not, you know, you're done. It's over.
I mean, for a lot of them, it's not over. A lot of teams will cut guys, assuming they're going to get through the waiver wires and end up signing them to the practice squad. A lot of these guys that get cut will end up on practice squads somewhere around. A lot of them, it is over, though. Like, right, like this is, I had a conversation last night. I was on BetMGM tonight with Ryan Horvath as they transition to their new and improved. But it's not improved. Trista Crick's gone. Little Tree Tree gone. It ain't approved. It's just new. New BetMGM tonight, which fires up next week with noted gambling celebrity Brad Evans. I'm actually looking forward to seeing what that show's going to be like with Brad and Horvy on together. But with that being said, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued in seeing how this goes. We were having the conversation last night about Hard Knocks. Have you watched any of the Bears Hard Knocks yet?
I mean, I'll turn it off in a second, but I think this is the song for, I mean, you know. It's going to be okay, people. So you lost your dream.
I feel bad for the people on the stream, but like the song, it just slaps, dude. It just slaps. And now, don't dream it's over. And now, when the world comes in, to build a wall between us, you know that they won't win. Slapper, banger, absolute perfection in that song.
All right, so your dream's not over. Prospective NFL player.
And if it is, don't dream it's over. All right. Carpe diem. practice squatters. Carpe diem. All right. Panthers have set their initial 53-man roster for the 2024 season, and amongst the notable names that did not find a slot on the roster is Terrace Marshall Jr., the former LSU Tiger wide receiver, waived along with 24 other players yesterday. Marshall has appeared in 36 games for the team, 64 catches, 767 yards, and just one touchdown while in Carolina. And let's call it what it is. Those numbers are why. Those numbers are why. You cannot come into this league with the posture and the stature that TMJ has. He's not, I think one of the things that happened is that TMJ's got hops, and a lot of people looked at this guy as a bigger wide receiver, right? They looked at him as like that big time red zone threat that you throw it up in the corner and TMJ goes up and gets it, because that is what he did at LSU. TMJ's 6'2", 200 pounds.
Wow, not nearly as tall.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years can you be a project? I'm surprised it took this long for him to be cut.
I'm not surprised it took this long for him to be cut, because I do think he was a project with promise. I do think there were still aspects of his game. There are still aspects of his game that I'm like, all right, like you can see it, right? Like you can see it. It's not out yet. But you can see it, and I think there was some belief that, especially considering the quarterback situation, right? We've talked about this with Bryce Young. Context of a situation matters, and one of the biggest contexts that I think you have to discuss is the equipment around a guy, and this is a wide receiver that, for the years he's been in Carolina, has not had consistency, he hadn't had a good coach yet. Dave Canales was the first good coach, TMJ, or a good coach in terms of running the offense.
First good coach, and he went, no.
No, what I meant was, first good coach, because he's had wide receiver coaches in Carolina. He's had Smitty there working with him for a couple of years now. But it's, to me, it's less about the individual instruction, and it's more about having a coach that runs an efficient offense that plays to the strength of the team, right? I go back to Matt Rhule, who was there when TMJ showed up. I go back to Matt Rhule, and you want to know why Christian McCaffrey's not a Carolina Panther? It's not because of what they got back when they sent him out to San Francisco, who was a contender at the time. Christian McCaffrey has gone from this team because McCaffrey, and I don't think he's ever said it, I wouldn't be shocked to have found out that he wanted to go, that he wanted out. Why? Because Matt Rhule was a guy that was taking Christian McCaffrey, a guy that last year, two things. Number one, stayed healthy all year, something that never happened in Charlotte. And number two, was not asked to run between the tackles. And what did he do last year? Great one. All he did was get you more than 2,000 yards of offense. And what did he end up with last year? Like 21 touchdowns on the season? Because they knew how to use them, and then they used them that way, versus Matt Rhule, who's like, yeah, Christian McCaffrey's 5'2", 87 pounds. Let's run him off guard. Not the right play.
Well, there is talk, and I heard this today, this morning. I forget where, that they're debating whether he's the best running back in football.
I mean, I would say it is fair to include him in the conversation. I think that, you know, you get to ask the question, where do you draw the line between running back and flex player, right? Like, if I can line McCaffrey up as a running back, but I can also line him up as a wing back, and he's still just as dangerous. But he's absolutely in that conversation. And so when McCaffrey's in Carolina, and they're running him off center, and they're running power ISOs with a running back who's 115 pounds soaking ass wet, that's not how you use that guy. That's not what that guy is for. Yet, it was just coaches who go, it's my way or the highway. This is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. It doesn't fit the equipment I have. But that's what we're doing. And so there is a little bit of sadness for me in TMJ, because I don't think he's the only guy in Carolina that was utilized improperly. But Then you have to put that in comparison to, say, Adam Thielen, who was not utilized properly last year, but he succeeded nonetheless, right? Adam Thielen is not an X wide receiver, a wide receiver one. X wide receiver is the wide receiver that is usually lined up on the line of scrimmage opposite the tight end. Why? Because that's the guy that you are giving more space to operate. You know he is drawing the best defender that they can throw at him. So you're giving him more space to operate, more space to move. That's your best wide receiver, your X. Adam Thielen is not an X wide receiver. That's not his game. His game is to line up in the slot. His game is to line up on the side of the field where there is the most offensive player, which means there's also the most defensive players, but it also means those are not the best defensive players on the football field, A. And B, it also means that you're looking for bubbles. You're looking for holes in the coverage. Adam Thielen's game is to get off quickly on the line of scrimmage, to look at the defense and go, all right, safety's dragging with the fly route. Cornerback's working underneath the wheel route. That means that the hole in the coverage is going to be where the cornerback is vacated. I'm going to run there, turn around, sit down, and give my wide receiver my numbers to throw to as the escape valve, as the emergency guy. Last year, he was running as a one wide receiver. That ain't it, Chief. Yet, he still succeeded. He still thrived, right? McCaffrey was being asked to run like a power back, even though he's a finesse back, but he still succeeded. Granted, he got hurt every damn year in Charlotte because of it, but when he wasn't hurt, he succeeded. I feel bad for TMJ because the difference in the two guys that I just mentioned succeeding in those roles and TMJ is that TMJ had a couple of years, that those two guys, Adam Thielen and Christian McCaffrey, they had a couple of years to develop as players. They had a couple of years to develop their talent level, their skill set, to learn the different positions on the field. TMJ came into the mix and was thrown to the Wolves immediately. Was thrown to the Wolves straight up. They're like, hey, dude, this is what you do and this is how you do it. And unfortunately, I don't think he ever got the chance to actually develop his game. Now, we'll see what Rashad Beard has to say about that tomorrow. I believe Rashad Beard is going to be in the same thought pattern than I am right now. But overall, I do honestly feel bad for Terrace Marshall Jr. at the same time. That's not Dave Canales' problem. This is why Cut Day stinks so bad, because there's a lot of guys that have a lot of factors that go into why they are the player that they are and why that player does or does not fit, especially under a new coach, into whatever the program is that they're trying to establish, the culture, the identity that they're trying to establish. And it's not their fault. It is not TMJ's fault that he spent 3 years in Carolina and never really had an offensive head coach that developed and utilized him to match his talent and was able to bring out the best of him as a player.
I don't know that we know all that, because we don't know what his practice habits are. We don't know what his comprehension or retention are for the plays. We don't know any of that stuff. He has managed to hang on. I've never understood yours and Rashad's faith in the guy, because I just never thought he was that great.
Again, You know who my comparison and concern is for TMJ? You know who I'm worried TMJ is the predecessor for, or is the guy that we're going to be talking about? Xavier Leggett. Honestly, I worry. The difference is, and this is why I do have more confidence, comfort with the future career of XL. Because XL comes into a system where there is what appears to be so far, we haven't seen him coach a single regular season game yet. We're a week and a half away from that. But he at least comes into a situation where you've got a guy in Dave Canales that at least appears competent. Not confident, competent. At least feels like he knows what he wants and how to get the most out of a guy. And I don't think TMJ ever had that. And then you add on to the fact that he had a year with the Matt Rhule OOU mentality. Well, what if he wasn't OOU? And what if he wasn't getting the same attention and the same level of development opportunities as other guys do because he wasn't OOU? That's on TMJ. I agree with what you're saying. We don't have a ton of info on what TMJ was behind the scenes. Was he that guy that was first in the locker room, last out, first in the weight room, last out? Or was he a guy who just kind of showed up and assumed that his natural born talent was going to carry him through? I don't know. But what I do know is, regardless of his personality, the situation was never good for Terrace Marshall Jr. I would not be shocked to see somebody today pick that cat up and give him a second chance. All right, we'll look through some of the other guys that got cut by the Cats and what it means for the Panthers as we are now a week and a half away from opening day of the NFL season. That's coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The 53-man roster set for the Carolina Panthers. 25 players released yesterday to get down to that 53-man week one limit. The next step in the process is for the players who were released by NFL teams to make it through the waiver wire process, to make it through waivers before they can be added to practice squad positions. Of course, not all of them will. Many of them will be picked up on the waiver wire, as some teams will still have further roster rotations that they want to go through. The number one team on the waiver wire are the Carolina Panthers. I suspect that right now, up in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's a group of coaches probably sitting in Dave Canales' office. Dave Canales strikes me as the guy who's in the office at like 3 a.m., right? Like, he strikes me as the guy that he's already gotten up, run a marathon, worked out twice, taken a cold shower. He doesn't take hot showers. Hot showers are for lazy people. You got to take that ice cold shower, right? He strikes me as that dude that's already eaten his kale smoothie.
Ugh. Here's how we'll know for sure. Let's look at him now and look at him a year from now. If he looks like he's aged 10 years, then he's that guy. I mean, until now, he's just been an assistant coach, right? This is his first head coaching
job. That is correct.
Yeah. So
he's a very handsome individual.
He is. So we'll see how much of a toll it takes on him. If he looks the same come this time next year, then he's not the guy you're describing.
We
know, as people who are getting up really early, what it does to you.
I was watching the Panthers game last weekend, and I was in the Bro Cave because it was on during Bet for the Cycle. And the lady friend popped in during one of the breaks to come ask me something. And he was on. They were showing him on the sideline. And she goes, "Ooh, he's handsome." I'm like, "Yeah, no, we know. I get it. I understand. Like, he's handsome, millionaire, and a head coach. Like, okay, lady, you're stuck with what you're stuck with. You made the call for me to be here, not me. All right." Anyway, we'll find out. Point is, Panthers have top billing on the waiver wire, and I suspect Canales and a handful of his dudes are probably in the office right now looking down the cut list of all of the other 31 NFL programs, because there are spots this roster's got to get better. It's got to get better at linebacker. It's got to get deeper at defensive back. It's got to get deeper across the offensive line. So I suspect Carolina is likely right now sitting in the office, all the coaches, all the suits, in there poring over the players that have been cut to see if there's anybody out there maybe that fit into the different spots that they need to get better at. We'll find out. I would not be shocked today to hear that the Carolina Panthers are picking up linebacker X or offensive tackle X and placing them on the roster and cutting somebody else from it. Once the waiver rotation is completed, then all of these players become eligible to be picked up for practice squad assignments. And I would not be shocked for that to end up being the case down the line as well. But again, we'll talk more about that when we get to those milestones. Here's who we know are gone from the team so far. Defensive tackle Junior Aho, Tyler Smith, offensive tackle, DT Ulumoale, guard Jack Anderson, linebacker Aaron Beasley, cornerback DiCaprio Boodle, guard at Mason Brooks, safety Alex Cook, tackle Jeremiah Crawford, cornerback Willie Drew, linebacker Kenny Dyson, tight end Felipe Franks, tackle Ricky Lee, linebacker Derek McClendon, cornerback Quandre Mosley, defensive tackle Walter Palmore, wide receiver Sam Pinckney, quarterback Jake Plummer. Jake Plummer had the third most passing yards in the NFL preseason. He also played a lot. We didn't see BY until the last game, and he only played one series. I think we all kind of knew coming into this that obviously Andy Dalton was going to be QB2 behind BY9, and Jake Luton, who came in and was signed towards the middle of preseason, that's a guy who's got some familiarity with the offense, with the team, with the franchise, as he was a practice squad QB before, and that just left Jake Plummer as the odd man out. So it's not really a shock that Jack Plummer was the guy who was released from that position. What'd I say, Jake?
It took you three or four times before you finally got back to Jack.
And
I had to correct the Sports Flash.
It's very much like the San Diego Chargers. You know, it's only been 6 years. You got to give me some time. Running back Jaden Sheridan, defensive tackle TJ Smith, wide receiver Mike Strachan, linebacker Luigi Villan. Luigi, but with a J. Villan, V-I-L-A-I-N. That dude's a movie character bad guy. That guy is Mario's brother, but in Bizarro World. His last name's Villan. It's a little on the nose. Chris Wilcox, cornerback, and linebacker Chandler Wooten were all waived. The Panthers also placed cornerback Dane Jackson, safety Sam Franklin, linebacker Tay Davis, and linebacker Cam Gill on injured reserve. Jackson and Franklin have been designated as eligible to return in the regular season, which doesn't really shock me all that much. Mike Boone has been released, as has tight end Jesper Horsted, tight end Jordan Matthews, and safety Rudy Ford were all let go as well. It's already been made clear by Dave Canales that the running back Mike Boone, it is their goal. They are hoping that he makes it through waivers and ends up on the Panther practice squad. Canales singled him out after the cuts were made and said, this guy ran hard in the preseason. I think he's got a future. He just needs some development time. And I actually agree with that. I like what I saw out of Mike Boone, but just not quite polished enough yet to add to the active roster. And so because of that, I do hope he clears the waivers for Carolina. I also will not be shocked if he does not. I will not be shocked if Mike Boone ends up getting picked up by somebody who needs some running back depth. There are a handful of teams. The Packers are one of them now. Packers just lost A.J. Dillon. Got a neck injury, that is going to keep him out of the regular season this year. They need a little running back depth. A guy like Boone becomes a fantastic waiver pickup opportunity for them. So I doubt Mike Boone does, but if he does, he'll be back on the practice squad. I don't know about you, Zo. I don't know if there's anybody on this list that really shocks you. There's really not for me. I mean, I think the only one that maybe gave you a pause was TMJ catching the axe. But like we've talked about, he's had a couple of years now in Carolina to kind of find a stride, to kind of get there, to kind of develop and get that polish on him that they wanted him to get, and he just never did. And again, maybe it's because TMJ just doesn't got that dog in him. And maybe it's because he just wasn't that good, but I'm also willing to look at everything in context. In the context of this situation, to me, is that the Panthers were bad the last couple of years. And that includes the head coaching and the coaching staffs the last couple of years. With Frank Reich, they tried to put together that all-star coaching staff. And there is a reason. There is a reason that that's not how NFL coaches operate, that they don't just go get the best available, quote unquote, coach on paper. They go get guys who fit within the philosophy, because I'd rather have some good guys that fit in the philosophy than a great guy at every position coach position that doesn't agree with my or participate in my philosophy, or else you get what happened last year, and that is what happened last year. So I don't know that TMJ ever really got to operate in a fluid but coherent environment. I think there is still the potential that the guy could develop, but sometimes you're just in a spot so long, you end up in a rut. And once you're in a rut, it gets real hard to break the habits that have made you what you are. So I'm actually happy for TMJ. He's going to get at least practice squatted somewhere. I'm happy he'll get the opportunity to go somewhere and maybe develop like Carolina had hoped that he would.
So this is like if someone gets hired and they have to take on a project that someone else didn't get done, and then that person goes, yeah, this job ain't for me, and they move on, they hired another guy, and he has to take on that project also, and he doesn't understand why this project even exists, but they keep going with the project because it's part of their job. Or possibly does an owner have something to do with someone hanging on, even though they may not be up to par talent-wise with everybody else?
Yes to all of the above. Yes to all of the above. This is one of the things to me that is part of today, and I hope it changes for the good of the team. I hope it changes, but that's the Tep legacy right now, isn't it? Like every time something bad happens, it is more than fair of Panthers fans to go, is this the best move by the coaching staff or is this a Tep directive? And it's a very fair question to ask. I do think my thoughts on it. I do think with a guy like a TMJ, I see the upside. I see the upside. I see the potential. I see the possibility of TMJ still becoming a good wide receiver two somewhere, right? Again, I think the other thing that may have happened to TMJ is that a lot of people wanted to pigeonhole TMJ into this, oh, he's our big red zone threat. He's our big guy that when we get down inside the 20, that's the guy we go to. Again, my man was 6'2", 200. He wasn't a monster like a Johnny Wilson, right? He's not that guy. He just had hops. He had athleticism out the wazoo. And so I think he got pigeonholed a little bit, and that may have hindered the development. But, yeah, I also think there's probably some element of, and I think a lot of us have had this experience where you start a job, you get involved in a project, and in a group project, and you show up to start your portion of the group project, and you look at it, and you go, why in the hell did they do it this way? This is a dumb way to do that. And you have two options here. Number one is you can deconstruct everything. You can blow everything up from the ground level, in which case you've got to start the project all over from ground zero. And on top of that, you add in the fact that, you know, most bosses aren't going to love if you come in and you go all the work that's been done so far, all the time that you've paid these people to do this thing. They did it wrong. I got to start over and you got to pay me for all that. They don't love that. Or number two, you've got to keep pushing forward and you try to fix what got done wrong in the future. You got to fix what happened. You got to fix the foundation as you're moving forward. And that's not always easy either. So I think sometimes it's just easier to scrap the whole thing and move to the next level. And I think that's probably the case with TMJ, because it would not just be about deconstructing Terrace Marshall Jr. and making him the wide receiver that you wanted him to be. It is also about, before you can even get to that point, it is also about deprogramming everything that was in him, right? Like I've said a number of times that the reason I'm going with Russell Wilson, or one of the reasons that I'm going with Russell Wilson out of the gate if I'm the Steelers, is not because I don't think Justin Fields can do it. We saw Justin Fields do it in Chicago, or at least flashes of it. The reason I'm going with Russell Wilson is not because I don't think Justin Fields can do it, but because I think there is going to take some time to deprogram the Matt Eberflus out of him. The Matt Eberflus offense was a little bit simplistic, And I think that that is a big, big part of the reason that Justin Fields got into a zone where Justin Fields, if he didn't see something open up very rapidly, took off down the football field. And I can't have that out of my quarterback. I got to have a guy who's comfortable back there, is comfortable sitting in the pocket, the pocket collapsing around him, still holding his ground, throwing the football. And a lot of that I put on Matt Eberflus. And I think it is going to take some time to deprogram that out of Justin Fields and get him new and ready to go to learn the offense. And also Russell Wilson, I think, is still fine. But put that aside for a minute. I think that might be the case with TMJ. You don't just have to develop him as a wide receiver like you would if he was a rookie, but you also have to deprogram the Matt Rhule and deprogram the Frank Reich out of him. And if you're Dave Canales, you don't really have time for that. You don't. You've got new wide receivers in the books. You've got Xavier Leggett right there. So instead of having to deprogram TMJ and then reprogram TMJ for what you need him to be, I'm just going to take the guy that I only have to do one of those things. I'm just going to take the guy that I don't have to deprogram. I just got to start programming now. And I think that's the right play. So we'll talk to Rashad Beard tomorrow about it at 8:40 and get his thoughts on this. Texter said, damn you, Rob Brown. I'm up abnormally early for a presentation that could change the taste buds of America. But instead of getting pumped, I'm singing in my head, the dream is over. That's Lonzo's fault. Yeah, that's not me.
I was going to say, blame me. I'm the one who did that.
Yeah, that's Lonzo's fault. Don't get me wrong.
Hey, use that as motivation. You're up for your presentation, dude. Use that.
Because nothing's going to get you more hype than, band name. What's the name of that band, Lonzo?
Crowded House.
Yeah, damn it. I need another 30 seconds. I could have got there.
Okay, but we really don't have 30 seconds.
The Crowded House of Sports Flashes, Lonzo.
Yeah, I know I put on weight, dude, but not that much. The Atlanta Braves took the second game in a three-game set against the Minnesota Twins. Stop it with an 8-6 win in 10 innings last night. Closer Rizal Iglesias was awarded the win. The Braves led 4-0 before allowing a four-run rally in the last three innings. Atlanta remains six back of Philadelphia in the division and three up on New York for the wild card. The NCAA has forwarded a proposal to eliminate the spring transfer portal window, creating just one 30-day window annually in December and doing away with the 15-day window that opens in April, reducing the total number of days the portal is open from 45 down to 30. Tune in this Friday night at 7 p.m. as the Burns Rebels head to Irmo to take on the Yellow Jackets. It's Burns versus Irmo right here on your home for Burns Rebels football, The Fan. Upstate.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.